Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, and we have a great guest for you. Of course, we're always brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Discover vitamins and supplements personalized for your needs. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. And by the way, your doc, you can tell your doc about it, can have his recommendations customized to him as well as personalized for you. The guest this week, we are 974B, always the guest segment is B, is Dr. Sandy Skolnicki. She has written what I consider a sensational book called Beyond Soap, The Real Truth About What You Are Doing to Your Skin and How to Fix It for a Beautiful, Healthy Glow. And I think even guys want a healthy glow. So Dr. Skolnicki comes to us from Toronto. Her website is, actually you can get to her website easiest by going to her podcast, Beyond, the Beyond Soap podcast, Beyond Soap podcast on Apple and iHeart, available. She is in Toronto, so you have to fly there for a personal visit if you wanted that, if you're assuming you're not in Toronto. We actually have, of our 50,000 or 53,000 downloads a week, Sandy, about 10% of them come from Canada, so maybe some people will hear this who are in range to see you. She has her special interest is contact dermatitis, and we're going to find out what that is and what it means to you in a few seconds. But I should tell you that she also has a private practice in Toronto, and we lost her. That is, Cleveland Clinic Canada had her for a little bit of time, but she got too busy and left us. In any case, she has been on, she has written for Chatelaine, as well as Flair, L Canada, The Globe and Mail, and on ET Canada, CTV, City TV, Global News, CBC Radio, The National, and CBC National News. So Beyond Soap, a wonderful book. Let's first talk a little bit about what motivated you to write this book. Was it that people weren't doing what was right for their skin?
Well, that's part of it, but it, I mean, I'm my academic interest is something called contact dermatitis, so things that touch the skin that lead to reactions, both allergic and irritant. And I got very frustrated by seeing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, this patient's sort of not understanding that the reason they had their rashes on their face or their body were because of potentially products that they were putting on their body, ingredients in their products. Furthermore, there's a big disconnect between what will give you a rash and what is toxic. So when people get rashes or they have reactions, their knee-jerk response is to go more sort of natural or organic. And the two concepts are really different. What, you know, what's toxic or carcinogenic? I always say lead won't give you a rash, but poison ivy will. And poison ivy is a plant. And so there's a disconnect. And so people, you know, it was very frustrating for me to see these people over and over and over again, not realizing that they were causing their own problems by their personal care products. Furthermore, and we all know that, you know, cosmetics and personal care products are not necessarily regulated to the extent that we'd like to see them. In particular, in 2012, right before I decided to write this book, there was a huge epidemic in contact dermatitis circles. I maybe you heard about it, from a preservative called methyl isothiazinolone. And, you know, people were covered in rashes from head to toe, not realizing it was their shampoo or their body wash, because it said hypoallergenic or sensitive skin on it. So I really wanted to get the message out there that, you know, reactions to personal skin care have increased. I think we have a little bit of a mini epidemic. There was a great article in JAMA in 2016.
Before we go on, we should say what JAMA is. JAMA is the Journal of the American Medical Association. So there was a great article. I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I should be better at spelling those things out for our listeners. So they looked at the FDA data. Like, the FDA actually published data for the first time on adverse events to cosmetics and beauty products. And, you know, there's the graph is going, like, straight up with a, you know, a 62% increase in the last 3 years. That was data was published in 2016. So, I mean, the FDA knows there's a problem. They've actually, in 2018, suggested that they have a consumer survey on allergens in cosmetics. I think it's interesting they're going to consumers. But there's a problem. And I think part of the problem is lack of patient understanding that something that's natural or something that is in your skincare can give you quite a significant rash. Everybody wants to blame it on food. And then the other part of the reason for writing the book was a sort of sensitive skin and the increase in something called eczema. And, you know, these types of things have skyrocketed as well. There's a threefold increase in patients suffering from eczema, hay fever, and asthma. And I sort of wanted to talk about the skin barrier, skin pH, the microbiome, and how that all kinds of how that fits into what we do to our skin every day, like showering every day and using detergents and soaps and products. They're actually not good for us.
Let's go and talk a little bit. So what is a contact dermatitis, you've said, where something, whether it is a scarf with a product in it, or whether it is a skin lotion, or whether it is a, quote, shampoo or conditioner with something in it that has something you're allergic to, and you put it on your skin, that's where you get a rash and itching, usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's contact dermatitis. What's eczema? So you talked about eczema, and how do you differentiate eczema from contact dermatitis?
Well, a lot of people do use dermatitis and eczema interchangeably, but in the strict sort of medical or dermatological sense, we sort of consider eczema to be that sort of genetic, it's a genetic condition where your actually skin's missing something that can't produce, it's filaggrin, and they can't produce the skin barrier properly. So you have a leaky skin, if you will. And dermatitis is often caused by something external. So if something touches you, you know, North Americans often, I always use poison ivy as an example, because if it touches you and you're allergic, because not everybody is, you get a dermatitis. But you can get dermatitis from, you know, things in your workplace and from an industrial setting. You can get dermatitis from things in your shampoo that won't affect your scalp, but they'll affect your face and your body. You can be allergic or get dermatitis from dyes in your clothing, from nickel. Nickel is actually probably the most common cause of dermatitis something that touches the skin. And now we have a big problem because we have a very high incidence of nickel contact dermatitis from piercing. And what happens, fast forward 50 years, when you need that knee or hip replacement or a cardiac or a heart stent that has nickel in it, is there going to be a problem for patients? So all these things I kind of wanted to explain, and because a lot of patients don't understand, you know, they think it's food, or they think their rashes are, they think they're hives, and, you know, they always want to blame something and not their skincare, and it kind of drives us crazy as dermatologists. We're like, stop using all that stuff. Stop washing so much. Why are you doing all these things? Because we've been sold this through sort of the beauty industry. And actually, one of my favorite chapters of the book is sort of how we came to be, like the cleanliness obsession, the story of hygiene and how we got to the point where, you know, you and I think we're similar ages. Our great-grandparents would have washed once a week.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Well, let's go exactly there. So, Sandy, and we're talking with the author of Beyond Soap, Dr. Sandy Skolt, S-K-O-T-N-I-C-K-I, Scott Nicky. Sandy, and this book, Beyond Soap, is a great book. But one of the things is, is the way we should handle our skin basically use just water on it? So let's talk a little bit about our normal barrier, what's missing in eczema, what we can do about that. Should we have an artificial barrier, or is it best to let the, if you will, the bacteria that inhabit us do their thing? So let's talk about that. Is when I wash every day, I tend to wash with just water on my hair once a week or so, or if I've exercised hard, I will use a shampoo. But mostly I've been taught just to use water, and then only soap, if you will, which I was told gets off this barrier or takes it off. Rarely, so that my I've been told that I should mainly use water. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. But first of all, like what you do is probably like if you ask 20 of your friends, most of them aren't doing that. You know, they're scrubbing their whole body daily with body cleansers. I mean, that's why they're called body washes. I mean, they're not necessary. One of the issues with water, and let's just talk about normal skin. So not people that don't have genetic eczema. So just people with normal skin. Water is like tap water in Toronto is a pH of 7.7, and many places it's quite neutral or almost bordering on alkaline. And our skin's acidic. So there's been some studies actually with babies, premature babies, and water itself can increase the alkalinity of the skin. So for the people with normal skin, that's not a problem. But if you, so sometimes cleansers can help normalize or bring down the pH, which is acidic, and bring it closer to the acidity of the skin. But like what you're doing, I agree with. I do. I think you don't need a lot of soap. You don't need a lot of shampoo. They're not necessary for the most part. They're social norms. They've been ingrained in us through the beauty marketing industry. Washing your, I always say wash your bits because, you know, if you have some odor. But water is very good. But water itself also can be drying. So, like a lot of people like to have a shower because it wakes them up, makes them feel good, they feel clean. I'm okay with if you just want to shower with just water, that's better than showering every day with soap and detergent. But I would even argue you could probably do it alternate days. Definitely shampoo once or twice a week at the max. And most men, like with short hair that don't use product, you don't need shampoo much at all. But, when you tell patients this, it's so against what they've been sort of taught, right? And I think in my chapter on cleanliness, part of that is a leftover fear of, you know, that sort of scrubbing, you're in the bathtub and your mom scrubbed behind your ears. Because pre-antibiotic era, you could die if you got an open sore and dirt in it. But nowadays, nobody's going to be, you know, dying from getting a little bit of dirt on them. But it's a leftover kind of fear. And what I'm trying to explain with some of the science in the book, which is very, very easy to read, is the reason why it's actually bad for us. And you talked a little bit about our barrier. I like the analogy of our skin like a brick wall. The cells are the bricks. The mortars are lipids. And water itself and detergent and soap in particular, really remove that mortar and leave our skin vulnerable to things to come in like allergens, even pollution. Water can then escape. But also all of this activity probably has altered our microbiome, which is the bacteria, the good bacteria. Yep.
So let's go back and say, so I've washed now, and as I've gotten older, my hands get drier. Should I be putting a lotion on them after I shower and wash, or should I put it on just at bedtime? What's the appropriate thing to, or should I not have a lotion? Should I do something different after I wash my hands?
So I always like to look at things a little differently. So when I have patients, I just had my last patient of the day today say, you know, I have very dry hands. What's the best moisturizer? And I say to them, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's if you have dry skin or dry hands in particular, you should ask, what's the best cleanser? Because a lot of soaps that are used in hand dispensers are quite harsh on the skin. First of all, many of them have antibacterial things in them, which they shouldn't, because we know that doesn't help. Even the CDC has said, you know, antibacterial washes don't help. They might even make things worse. And they've got real soap. We haven't even talked about what is the difference between soap and cleanser. Very complicated, but suffice to say, you can read my book to get the nitty-gritty, but cleansers are going to be less, they're not going to remove that mortar, so you're not going to be as dry. And so if you use proper cleansers and not hand soaps, you often don't have dry hands. But to answer your question, when you do have dryness, yes, you want to use a moisturizer. Now, a lot of moisturizers have sort of stuff in them that we don't like as dermatologists, fragrances, all this plant-based stuff. People are all worried about parabens. So, you know, there are hand moisturizers that are specifically made for hand dermatitis by consumer products that are sort of directed towards skin care, and those are the types of things you want to use. But really, it's about using non-soap on your hands, cleansers that are fragrance-free, that don't foam a lot, and, you know, when you're really worried, I tell patients, when you're really worried about germ control, and you know this, that alcohol hand sanitizers are more effective. I just had this long conversation with a patient who had dry, cracked hands. And I said, you know, how often do you wash your hands a day? And when they say, well, I'm very concerned about getting the flu, and I'm a bit of a germaphobe, so I wash my hands all the time. I said, you know, you have to wash your hands for 2 full happy birthdays with soap and water or detergent and water to get an antiseptic effect. You're going to get a lot more out of a dime-sized amount of an alcohol hand sanitizer. And that's another thing I write about in the book, because there's a big concern about they don't want to use alcohol hand sanitizers. And we know they're better for the skin. They're better at germ disinfecting, and they're not going to dry your hands out.
We're talking with Dr. Sandy Skotnicki, Skotnicki, the author of Beyond Soap and the voice on the Beyond Soap podcast. This podcast, You the Owner's Manual podcast, is always brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can discover vitamins and supplements that you can get personalized, or you can actually take the free online assessment or talk to a nutritionist at mypersona.com. It's a free online assessment. You can get those recommendations, and then if you want to have more conversation, just ask for the nutritionist. Let's go back to our conversation with the author of Beyond Soap, a great book. As you can tell, she has an encyclopedic knowledge of this field. So when you're looking for a product, for example, a hand moisturizer, how do you look for it so you don't get what you might call those extra things in it? What do you look for to make sure it's pure? You want it fragrance-free, obviously, but how do you get it so it's pure?
That's such a loaded question, because I'm a member of the American Contact Dermatitis Society, and one of our members just wrote another article, I think it was in JAMA again, Journal of American Medical Association, about sort of this whole clean beauty. So a lot of patients, many patients, don't want to use chemicals. And I always, you know, this is another reason I wrote this book, because a plant-based is still a chemical. Your body still has to deal with it. The immune system still has to, you know, get rid of it. And it can cause allergy, and it can also be irritating. So when you're looking for products, it's tough, because the terms hypoallergenic, sensitive skin, natural, they're not heavily regulated. And most patients don't realize this. I think one of the only terms that I would sort of really look for if you had dry, irritated skin was the Eczema Association. They have a stamp on things. Fragrance-free is, I think, important because fragrances are not only potentially allergenic or cause allergies, they can irritate or make the skin burny and dry and red. And one of the things with hand soaps, which you're asking, hand moisturizers, is things that help repair that brick wall we were talking about. So things that have, we call them humectants, emollients, so things like ceramides, which is a natural occurring oil or lipid in the skin, humectants like glycerin, a combination of those kinds of things. And really what you want to do, because it's so complicated, is not go by the marketing of hypoallergenic and sensitive skincare. Go for things that say fragrance-free, don't have a lot of bells and whistles, you don't need lavender and all these sort of organic things to help you. A less is more approach is better when it comes to skincare and hand care. And, you know, barrier ingredients like dimethicone is very important, I think, in hand moisturizers because it helps protect the skin from, you know, the onslaught of water and just the elements.
Now, so, we should say that if you go to eczema.org, you can go to shop, and under that, booklets and exchange fact sheets, it's very hard to actually view the products that are safe for you, meaning even under shop, you don't get, if you will, the products that are... you don't get a list of products that are endorsed or at least approved by the Eczema Society, as far as I can find out. So no. We'll have to find out. There is a list of show this to your GP of the products, and so you go to.
Interject, I part of the other reason I wrote this book is you asked me originally why I did it, because I started to, roundabout answer to this question we're just talking about products. In Canada, you know, we have less physicians, and we certainly have less people who do what I do, which is allergic contact dermatitis. So I see people from very far away. And so I'd see people, and I'd want to have to bring them back to do something called allergic patch testing, but their skin would be so bad and covered in dermatitis, or I couldn't see them for months because we have a long waiting list. So I produced this list of products, I've coined it, and I have a website. It's not endorsed. I don't get any money for putting products up there. It's called Product Elimination Diet. So what I do with patients is I say, go to this website. Everything on this list is vetted by me. There's no fragrance, either synthetic or plant-based. There's no formaldehyde preservatives. There's no of this methyl isothiazinolone preservative, which is a big problem in hair care. Very few of them have parabens, although I don't think parabens are a big issue. But I have this list of products that I've vetted. And you know what's interesting now is patients and... you know, readers and listeners will even from other countries will say, hey, you know, there's this great detergent that's fragrance-free. You can get it online, and I add it to the list and I update it. I also take things off when they're not available. It's very hard to find fragrance-free shampoo. It's almost non-existent. Fragrance-free toothpaste, because mint is a problem. It can cause constant irritation of the lips. Lip balms that don't have 100 zillion things in them. So that's my sort of solution to the problem, and it's very helpful. And what's been really great about it is
I should say. So while you've been talking, I logged on to producteliminationdiet.com. And at that point, you can go to, if you will, find a whole raft of different products that meet the criteria, such as Dove sensitive skin, the CeraVe hydrating cleansing bar, Cetaphil restoration nourishing body wash. So there's an Aveeno moisturizing bar. There's not just one product. and they're from different companies. So it is interesting what a variety and what an easy website this is to go to. And well, it is productelimination diet.com.
So it's kind of a play on words because the last part of the – so one of the issues we have in contact dermatitis is many of the people that we allergy test to ingredients in their skincare, they're actually not allergic. They're getting irritated. And this is the sort of whole – we haven't even touched on sensitive skin. Like sensitive skin, 69% of people in the U.S. self-identify with having sensitive skin, which is irritated, reactive skin. Now, you know that that's not possible genetically, so it's something we're doing, which is we're just doing too much. So one of the things is if I've sent somebody with a rash and I allergy test them, I say, listen, you're not allergic to anything. You're just using a lot of products together that, like if you use your hair care, your body care, your detergent, your this or that, by the time you finish, you've got about 300 chemicals touching your skin. And sometimes your skin just says, I don't like this. So the third part of the sort of product elimination is you eliminate, you go on this really boring fragrance-free list, then you can reintroduce things one at a time, almost like a food elimination diet. Because a lot of people, they get better, their skin gets better, and they're like, wow, you know, I'm not itchy, my skin isn't crawling, I feel good, but you know what, I'd like a little bit something fun or something more, or I don't like the shampoo, it's fragrance free and it's kind of making my hair limp. And then they can try things one per week and see and find a group of products that work for them. And it's been very, very helpful. I get a lot of emails and letters of people that say, you know, I've done this, and people that can't see a dermatologist, who can't get to a dermatologist, they go on this, they get better. Because you know, one of the things I say to patients is, they're like, well, I think I'm allergic to my skincare. I said, well, if you are, this list of products doesn't have the most common things in it that people are allergic to. And you might say, well, why can't they just go to the drugstore and get a bottle that says hypoallergenic? Because it's not regulated. And in fact, there's been three studies. I just published an editorial opinion paper in the Pediatric Journal of Dermatology on the fact that these labels don't mean much, because if you go to the drugstore, if you go to Walgreens and you take 100 products that are labeled hypoallergenic or sensitive skin, they all contain allergens. So, you know, the labeling is not helping consumers, and it's a problem, but it's not one that's going to be fixed anytime soon. So that's why dermatologists often have lists of things.
We're out of time, as you could tell. I could go on, and we could go on, because Dr. Sandy Skolnicki, the author of Beyond Soap and the, if you will, talent, as well as the producer of the Beyond Soap podcast, has been our guest. I should tell you, go to this other website, productelimination diet.com. It's sensational. She is sensational. We could go on forever. But Persona Nutrition is our sponsor, and we've only got about 20 minutes on each of these podcasts. So I want to thank you, Dr. Skolnicki, as well as thank you, Luis, for great engineering. But most importantly, our listeners who have downloaded us, the 50-plus thousand of you who download us, and those 5,000 or so from Canada, keep doing it. Thanks. You're our motivation. Feel free to send me questions at the owner's manual, if you will, and the best website is send it to drmike@ageproof.com or ageproof@gmail.com, ageprooflife@gmail.com if you send us questions, or you can go to the other website, wenway.com, and send questions. Either those are especially good about diet, so Dr. Krupain and I battle about who gets to answer the question, but one of us will, or tell me what you'd like different with You, the Owner's Manual podcast, what guests you would like on it. Dr. Skolnicki is a great guest, obviously. This has been podcast 974B. The B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, are always the guest of the week and tell you important information as she has about your skin or about some other part of your life to let you live longer well. The A, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. The A on this podcast, 974B, we talked about poor hand hygiene being one of the biggest transmitters of E. coli, what you can do about that, and about the decline in life expectancy written about in the U.S., but not in Canada, and why that's so, as well as the celebrated story of the week was why more U.S. kids are shunning sweetened drinks. And, of course, the uncelebrated story of the week is that U.S. heart patients between the ages of 55 and 65 are cutting back on life-saving drugs due to cost. Thanks very much. Thank you, Luis, and thank you, Dr. Skolnicki. Beyond Soap, and, of course, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can go to mypersona.com to take the quiz. Thanks again.